The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
We need a revolution. There's only one solution.
Hello and welcome to the revolution. Welcome to the Liberty Hour on Inform Life Radio on 1150 AM KKNW and streaming to CHDTV and several other platforms. So glad you could make it today. I am your host, Bernadette Pager. This hour of radio, the Liberty Hour, is brought to you by Informed Choice Washington. So if you're not familiar with that, if you're a new listener, please pop on over to, when you get a chance, informedchoicewa.org. Check us out. Sign up for free to get the newsletter. There's a wonderful Substack that you can also sign up for. Keep in touch with what's going on in Washington in the realm of medical freedom and informed consent and your rights in this area. If you can, we do hope you can give us a little something every month. We don't take any sponsors on this show. This is only funded by Informed Choice Washington members to keep free speech on this subject on the radio, on the airwaves, in Seattle, greater Puget Sound region, and of course the world, because we are streaming everywhere. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KKNW or CHDTV, and we are not giving medical or legal advice. So just, you know, keep that in mind. We're just here to keep free speech on the air and talk about issues that really need to be covered. Joining me today is my co-host, Javier Figueroa.
Hello, Bernadette.
Hello, Javier. Oh, there you go. We got a little bit of a delay between your handsome mug and your voice. So,
well, and I've been noticing that too. The stream has gotten really, really bad now for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, you just matched up, so let's hope that holds. This is live radio, people. So you never, anything can happen. And I got storm clouds out here and the wind blowing. So we'll see what happens. So, you know, we have a very serious subject, but I do hope, Javier, that within this hour, we can bring a little bit of hope and let our guest understand that, you know, we're with him. We stand with him and his journey, and we're fighting for individuals like him. So we're going to bring on Drew. Drew Outstanding is his name. We are bringing on it's Drew Outstanding Infield. I guess there's another part to your name there, Drew. Welcome to Inform Life Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yep, that's kind of my goal right now. I'm very limited in mobility, so my goal is to get out active and get out in the field. And it's an Army thing, too.
It is. Okay. Wonderful. So, you look like you're all set up and you're all comfortable. Are you good to go? If I start asking you, like, I'd love for you to give, the audience here a little bit of backstory of who you were, what your life was before COVID hit.
Yep. Serving in the Army. First, I did active duty, out of high school, then, did a break in service, it's called, where I went to school and then decided I want to go back in and serve. So I joined the Minnesota National Guard and spent another 10 years there, another deployment. Mm-hmm. And then 2020 came around and the pandemic, a lot of crazy stuff during that time. And then the year later in 2021, the vaccine and mandates. And so I was mandated, coerced, encouraged, whatever word you want to say. I had to get it for many different reasons, for Army, for school, and for the job I was working, and end up having a pretty bad side effect. So paralyzed, coma, immobility, neuropathy. The term is Guillain-Barré syndrome. So that put me in, mm-hmm. in the hospital inpatient for 6 months and another 3 months as a pretty much a vegetable. And now I'm going on 3 years and not fully recovered at all. Still can't walk very well. And the nerve pain and no real answers and not a lot of accountability.
I am so very sorry. You know, our prayers are with you, and there's a massive community listening to this show that listen and pay attention to Children's Health Defense. And, you know, our heart is with you. We know you're on a very difficult journey. I only wish that we had the systems in place now to really support you as you're needed financially and otherwise. But I hope you at least know that, you know, we're with you in our hearts, in our
Thank
prayers.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm speaking out and get out of the house is the best thing, and really meeting mm-hmm. more people that are supportive in different ways, journalism, legal, medical. They're hard to find, but there are people out there, and I appreciate the support.
That's wonderful. Not to put you through the torture again, but you know, what exactly happened? I believe you said it was you got the first Pfizer shot, and then a couple of weeks later, you got the second, and it was the second that you began to be symptoms. Describe to people exactly what you went through.
Yep, I got the COVID-19 vaccines from the VA. They said, "Come and get it. We got it here." My unit was saying, "Go there and get it." And then, and the whole thing was locked down. Like, there was plexiglass everywhere, and limited staff, and arrows and X's everywhere. And then they just had cubicles set up. It didn't feel very medical like. And then they gave it to me and said, I'm like, okay. I thought it was going to be more of a conversation. That now that the term is informed consent, I don't feel I was given informed consent. And they said, go sit down, wait 15 minutes. If you have anything wrong, let us know. Otherwise, take care. And so, yeah, I got two doses of the Pfizer 2 weeks apart. That's how they recommended it. And yeah, on that second one, they said there's going to be flu-like symptoms, which there was. I usually don't get sick very much, and I got very sick after the second dose. I can't really remember in between the two if it was too bad. There was a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, the flu-like symptoms didn't really go away. They might have came down a little bit, but then it was replaced with numbness, tingling in my hands, my feet. And then it turned to the muscle pain, the muscle weakness. I couldn't lift up a bottle of water. And I kind of just chalked it up to being stressed out, the pandemic, had an infant son at the time, going to school, working, all the stuff remotely, and trying to figure out this crazy new normal that we were in, or at the time, still kind of in the storm. And then the next day, you know, about 2 weeks after, I wake up, and I can't move anything. I can barely move my hands and my feet, but my torso, I'm just laying in bed, just like somebody's holding me down. And then I basically had to be dragged to the hospital. They ran all these tests, blood work, MRI, CAT scan, everything came back negative for anything major or anything noticeable. Mm-hmm. But they've seen this rare condition, this Guillain-Barré syndrome, nicknamed the French polio. But the only way they could figure that out is with a spinal tap. And so they do this lumbar puncture, hurt a lot. So those who don't know, big needle going into your spine, pulling out some fluid. And then that showed whatever it shows. Mm-hmm. And immediately rushed me to the hospital, the neurological ICU, and then told me I was going to be placed into a coma. And just being on deployments and missions and tough stuff, you hear something like that and be like, all right, I need to make my final calls and make sure everything's kind of in place just in case.
Wow. Okay. I'm loading in. Oh, there we go. Thank you so much, Nathan, for bringing those pictures up. I'm having technical difficulties on my side, but we've got some photographs for our audio only listeners of you, you know, in your uniform. What is that you're standing beside? It's kind of,
yeah, that's a helicopter. I was in a Black Hawk unit for most of my career, and mm-hmm. that was actually 9 months, about the summer of 2020, so about 9 months before getting the vaccine. I was getting promoted. We did a promotion ceremony. You had to be outside, people had to wear masks, all the rules, but still mm-hmm. wanted to make a good promotion ceremony. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, the 9 months later, you see me to the on that next screen with tons of tubes. I believe I was probably in a coma during that time or sleeping. But I remember the beeps, the cords. I had to be turned every 3 or 4 hours. I couldn't turn on my own. Because when I came out of the coma, completely paralyzed, even my eyelids, I thought I was closing my eyes, but instead my pupils were just rolling back and it was just the whites of my eyes. So it was the stuff of nightmares. It's so hard to even describe it or even remember, you know, how bad it was, but it was the most intense and painful thing I've ever experienced.
Did your doctors acknowledge that it was adverse reaction to the shot?
No, I kept asking questions. They were too busy, you know, saving my life. So that was the silver lining, I guess. They were doing whatever they could to make sure I was remaining alive. And that was the focus. But they were either giving me some kind of complex medical answer about how it was caused. They say it's caused by a viral infection. And the only viral infection I had was the COVID vaccine right before that. But no doctors, no nurses, admin, they're not willing to have that conversation. Or they said, you know, it depends, or we're looking into stuff. But and even at the time, I couldn't really speak. I couldn't hold a conversation. So it was very silenced, both, you know, physically and kind of hush hush, don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, just in the Pfizer documentation prior to FDA approval, or quote FDA approval, Guillain-Barré was listed as a possible side effect of the Pfizer shots. This is not something that, you know, and again, this is something that should have been put in writing for the doctors to see, and you should have been informed about it. But again, that's not what happened. Everyone said safe and effective, move on.
Yeah, I've got here, about to share, if Nathan can help me here, a website. This is informedchoicelaw.org. So as Javier just said, before the shots were released, the FDA presented to the VRBPAC committee, Vaccine and Related Biological Committee, a list of adverse events of special interest that they knew, not willy-nilly they pulled them out of the air, but because of past experience, because of what they knew about lipid nanoparticle, mRNA, injection reaction, all of that stuff, they knew to look for, I'll read the number one on the list, Guillain-Barré syndrome. There it is, right there. Also, acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, transverse myelitis, encephalitis, myelitis, all the myelitis, meningitis, convulsions, seizures, stroke, narcolepsy, cataplexy, anaphylaxis, acute myocardial infarction, myocarditis, pericarditis, autoimmune disease, deaths, pregnancy and birth outcomes, other acute
demyelination.
Thank you. Non-anaphylactic allergic reactions, thrombocytopenia, disseminated intravascular coagulation, venous thromboembolism, arthritis and arthralgia, joint pain, Kawasaki disease, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, and vaccine-enhanced disease. And every single one of those has been reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System in record numbers following receipt of the COVID-19 vaccine.
And just going through that, a lot of those had happened to me, the anaphylaxis, you know, a lot of these different ones throughout that time and still to this day. And it's unheard of.
So this was FDA slide 16, and also on table 2, both the CDC and FDA had these. And here is the text from the conversation. Let's see, this is a transcript. I think below it says who said it. He says, we're planning on at this time monitoring 10 to 20 safety outcomes of interest to be determined sort of on a variety of factors. One is on the pre-market review of sponsor safety data submitted to FDA. So we'll be looking very closely at that data, and especially the phase 3 safety data. I'm going to pause right there, Javier. Javier, how long was the phase 3 safety study on Pfizer's and clinical trial done? How long was the phase 3?
The end of it, 6 months, and they stopped it and they got everyone off protocol because they switched everyone from the control group into a treatment group because, again, they knew. They knew it was going to happen.
So this phase three safety study never happened. It was based, 6 months is not a long-term safety study. No. Then he goes on to say, we're also going to be looking at the literature and regulatory experience with these vaccines and any experience or knowledge gained from looking at the vaccine platforms and their use in past vaccines and other relevant data. So our 10 to 20 list should largely be the same as CDC's, and it was identical, and other federal partners. It's the plan. But the problem, and this was somebody named Anderson, who was presenting. At the time, in June 25th, 2021, we were up to 411,000 reports to VAERS and almost 7,000 deaths. At the time I posted this on informedchoicewa.org, this data, this what I was just reading was prior to the release of the vaccine. Okay, so here's the CDC's list. They include COVID-19 disease, but everything else there is the same. They knew, but what they did not do, Drew and Javier, they didn't send those lists to every ER in the United States of America. They did not send them to every MD that might be seeing it. The only thing they sent to vaccine administrators and ER and other doctors and nurses was make people wait for 15 minutes in case they have anaphylaxis. That was it. That's criminal. They knew to look for what happened to you. And so the fact that your doctors still didn't know once they saw you with it to even know they should report it and it may be a reaction, unacceptable.
And not only that, I'd continue to go to outpatient visits after I got home. I was going to physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, general ones, all these. And at the time in 2021, they were asking me every time I went in, the first question, are you ready for your booster? Are you ready for the flu shot? Yeah. And I'm like, and I was told right away, don't get any more vaccines. You're allergic now, because it would could cause a relapse in whatever just happened. But these initial LPN processing person before meeting the doctor, they were asking that every time. And finally, somebody told me, asked him, are you getting paid to ask that question? And the word on the street was they were getting gift cards or bonuses or whatever it is. And yeah, it started to get really complicated and I felt so alone, didn't know what to do.
I'm so sorry you felt alone. You are not alone anymore. You got a huge family here. Then Bob Reynolds, who's also with Informed Choice Washington, is on standby here. He says that there is a really good Facebook group. I don't know if you're aware of that. That is GBS.awareness. So if that might be a support group for you, unless you refuse to go on Facebook, which a lot of people
do. I was on that one. I was on Facebook for a while and I started just posting stuff and I was getting dinged for that. And yeah, I think I might've been on that group. Okay. But since then I've gotten away from the Meta, Facebook, yeah. Instagram, and it's all pretty much only X and Rumble for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. We're streaming live to Rumble right now too. Go ahead.
Excellent.
And then there are the support groups here in Idaho. Mission 43 and Idaho Fieldhouse has treatment options for physical therapy for veterans and first responders that are injured. It doesn't matter what the injury is. It's something that they're looking to help treat and help in recovery. So again, there are other options as well. They seem to, from my firsthand experience. So again, we'll look into seeing what other services and options are out there that we can provide as well.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was getting as much as I could from the VA and it looked like I was getting to the limit on there. And then last year I got fully checked out at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, you know, the top in the world, and they ran every test and came back and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. And so I'm like, yeah, that was about 2 weeks ago. And that was really hard to hear that even the top one. And I don't know if it was political. I don't know if it's just a rare disease and now it can't be. Okay. So Guillain-Barré syndrome, from what I understand, your immune system turns on you. thinks your body's the enemy and starts ripping apart nerves. And that's what brings on the paralysis. And it was spreading to my heart, lungs, and brain. And they put me into a coma and did plasmapheresis and IVIG in order to stop that spread. And that part worked, but it was like a hurricane coming through. So the hurricane's gone, but the damage is there. And so now what do I do? And nerves take a long time to grow and heal. And it's basically the myelin sheath is kind of broken apart away from the nerves. Think of like a cell phone cord without the rubber. So dangerous, exposed to the elements.
So I'm hoping you're bringing in HBOT there.
And so Mission 43, on top of having physical therapy and all the other support therapies, they also have hyperbarics. So they're bringing hyperbarics online. Hyperbarics has had an excellent track record, especially for central nervous system recovery with Guillain-Barré and some of the things that you experienced from the shot. Microclotting is also an issue. Microstrokes could also play a part. Sometimes Guillain-Barré presents one way and it's something else. And that's the problem with these shots. They hide a lot of things. They smack a label on it and say, well, it's this. It can be something else as well. So
I went through pneumonia. The amount of things in that, especially in that 6 months hospitalized. It was tough. The hyperbaric, I asked about that directly because I've been on Twitter and on these spaces and writing things down the best I can, doing as much research as I can, even in my conditions, which is tough cognitively, but doing the best I can. And then I asked Mayo about that, and I'm like, what about this? And they're like, no, won't do anything, won't do anything.
That's insane.
So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to figure this out another way. And
Unfortunately, you have to. And this is not, I wish I would say that you're the first veteran or armed service of active duty personnel that has been told this. This happens all the time. And the only way you get help is because you go into a network that actually knows what the hell they're doing. That's the unfortunate reality.
Yeah, I got to get outside that system once they get you stabilized for the real healing. And it's, you know, hyperbaric oxygen, like ivermectin, is something that it's so good, and it can undermine so many other profitable things in the whole medical care system. They just don't even look at it, but it makes so much sense to me. So on this show, Drew, we have covered a lot. We've had many shows on hyperbaric, bringing in some of the experts. Javier once sat on the Hyperbaric International Board. So I hope you guys have further conversations because he's got great information. And another topic we've covered a lot that I encourage you to explore is all about feeding your mitochondria with the building blocks of glutathione. You know, really stimulating that mitochondrial energy, promoting stem cell growth and all of that. Those are the building blocks to help your body with recovery. Again, not giving medical advice, but God made the building blocks. I didn't. So that's information we can get to you as well to cut down on your need to research.
Yeah, thank you. We've got and I've been hearing these things over and over. So it's got to mean there's something there. And so, I'll look into stuff. And
cool. Yeah. Really simple things to do. And one of the things I love about the more holistic approach that looks for, okay, what is it the body needs to repair itself? Like air, you know, extra oxygen under high pressure, the building blocks of glutathione. Glutathione is essential to life. Every life form has it. And you cannot fight any infection or disease or repair anything without glutathione. And so you just need the three, the peptides that make it. It's in your food, but if you want to concentrate it more, you can put the things together and the three of them. But is it L-cysteine, help me out here, Javier.
It's cysteine, L-cysteine, yes.
Cysteine, glutamine, and I have to look it up. You think I'd be I've been talking about it for years, but anyway, there's three of them that your body takes and makes glutathione. And of course, sunshine. I hope that you're able to get out there and get some sunshine. And one thing I learned, Drew, that's really cool is everybody has heard that you get in the sunshine, expose your skin, and your body makes vitamin D on your skin, right? And then it gets sort of absorbed. And I don't know, we got to have somebody really talk about the process, Javier, how that happens on a future show. But one of our people we interviewed recently explained that the another aspect of getting out in the sun is it helps those receptors, your vitamin D receptors, receive. So there's multiple ways in which sunshine helps your immune system. It's not just making the vitamin D, it's the ability to utilize and take up the vitamin D and set your rhythms. And it has to do with the melatonin. And the melatonin is so essential. They're finding melatonin is essential for treating, say, cancer. So I would think, again, amateur making a guess, that making sure that you're doing what you can, having the right amounts of daylight and darkness to keep your melatonin levels high, would be very helpful in anything where your body's attempting to heal itself.
Yeah, you know? Thank you. Yeah, I do the best I can in Minnesota, you know, Washington. Yeah. That's like, you know, but yeah, it's very important to me. I know all these things from being in the Army and exercise, nutrition. I've basically been eliminating everything I can in nutrition because, yeah, here's a little bit more about what happened was I was about this size, about 160, 170 when I was diagnosed, and I go in and through that whole couple of process when I get out of the coma, and I lost 40 pounds. So I went down, about a third of my body weight, down to skin and bones and the PEG tube and the food tube and all that. And then that went on forever. And then I come home and they're like, eat as much as you can, do all this. But then I ate garbage, you know, and ballooned up the most I've ever weighted. So I'm trying to find that balance of exercise, nutrition, eliminating chemicals doing the best I can. It's now because I feel it a lot more. Not only am I getting older, which, right, you know, you feel when it comes to this stuff of bouncing back and being resilient, but I feel like it takes so much. If I have a fast food, whatever, mm-hmm, it doesn't taste the same, and it has a horrible effects a lot, right, longer than it used to.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of just when you suffered your side effects from the second shot, was that considered part of your guardsman? Were you covered under the insurance that you were under for being a National Guardsman?
Under veteran, I think, status.
Okay.
And I'm involved in different legal and financial, and there's a lot going on. So
right,
it all takes time and months and years to kind of figure this stuff out. But yeah, I do receive benefits through the VA. So, but initially when I went to the ER and then to the Minneapolis hospital, that was, you know, out of pocket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. $2 million hospital bill. Somebody just called me up asking for $2 million. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, send me in the mail, whatever you're talking about. And it was like a thick 50 page, you know, the size of a mortgage, because they scanned everything I had and wrote notes, and it was a very large. And then I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And then I came back and said, oh, insurance, now it's $500,000. And I'm like, yeah, so that's a battle right now that I'm facing. And keeps going up too.
That's just insanity. It's just insanity, especially when you did it as part of your, not only service requirements, but also the college. If you were going to school, they made you.
I was going to school remotely because they moved it from in person to online, and then the job I was working for, the federal contractor, that was all online mandated as well. And not only that, all the lies, it stops you, you know, take it and it stops with you. Take the vaccine so you can take off the mask. Don't want to kill grandma, which I have a 75-year-old mother and an infant son. So I didn't want to be that connection between them and harm. But those are all lies. And then, mm-hmm, I don't know if you guys heard the Pfizer person on Zoom about a year ago come out and say, we never even tested for transmissibility. And And every time I hear a news story like that and, you know, research it, make sure it's accurate. Mm-hmm. It's just another being stabbed in the back, in the heart. Yes. And like, what was this all for?
Exactly. You know,
I did what I was supposed to do. And
you did.
And there's still no accountability. The main thing I'm fighting for is like, what's going on with this emergency use authorization? I guess that's what's keeping the legal liability immunity from Correct. These pharmaceutical companies. That's the extent that I know. And I'm like, why is this still going on? Are we in an emergency? Doesn't mm-hmm. kind of feel like it. And it nope. kind of didn't before.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, I don't know if this will be helpful at all to you, but, you know, so much of the corruption that was revealed by COVID existed before. And they've got a long game plan for what they intend to do. I feel like COVID went wrong for the powers that should not be, because so many people woke up to the systemic problems, and a lot of people were injured like you, and a lot of people though were woken up. So I feel like, and I'm looking at the wonderful things on the shelves behind you, you've got Superman's logo, you've got a Marvel guy, you've got Captain America, you've got Iron Man's fist back there. You know, consider yourself, I mean, they all have injury stories. They all have wound stories, and they became superheroes a little bit unwittingly, but life put them there. And sort yeah. of like life put you there, and you're speaking out today, the fight that you've been in, you wouldn't have chosen it, but by gum, you're going to help be part of the solution by your actions today. So, you know,
thank you.
You're
Thank
one
you
of
for saying that.
Your own heroes. You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been positive. Some of my friends said, well, if it was going to happen to any of us, we're glad it happened to you. And at first I took that offensively at first,
yeah.
but then they kind of explained it where they're like, no, this would have destroyed us. You know, we'd be in a hole. We'd maybe not be around, but they kind of knew me and who I was and my personality and mm-hmm. gave me props for that. I don't give up. And even when it's tough, I try to keep a good attitude and believe in our leaders and the things that we're supposed to do. But I'm a little bit more careful nowadays. And yeah, I've been a big superhero person my whole life. Some inside information, I'm adopted. So I always gravitated towards Superman.
Yeah.
Yep. In the Midwest, raised in the Midwest with some amazing adopted parents.
Aww.
And yeah, so yeah, it gave me great values and, you know, just to do the right thing. And then more so now with Captain America, when that movie came out mm-hmm. around 2010, it was great. The skinny kid wanted to join the army. And I went back and I watched that. And they said, it showed a picture of the file, the medical file. And they said, and there was a list of things. And asthma was the top thing. And there were a few other ones. And they go, even just with your asthma alone, you can't join, even during World War II. And then he still fought to get in. And they found a way. And, you know, and then the whole story, mm-hmm. You know, doing the right thing. Because they said, we don't need a strong guy doesn't know what pain feels like, but a small one does. Mm-hmm. And then that attitude. So yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that kind of got me through some of the tough times. And what really got me to speak out, or when I said enough is enough, they started to open it up for, well, first it was elderly, then it was like, you know, the 65, 40, 30s. And then when I was in the hospital, damaged, paralyzed, they started to open up to 12-year-olds and then 5 and then 6 months. And then my son was 6 months, 7 months at the time. And I'm like, there's no way, you know, and then for the school required, you know, they're threatening to go that direction. And then I'm like, I got to speak up. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what my finances are going to be. I don't know what's going to happen to my benefits, but I got to do the right thing. I don't know if it's going to have any impact, but at the end, when our creator says like, what did you do? I want to be able to say, I did everything I could. Or my That's son, right. when he grows up, be like, I did whatever I could. I don't know if it was enough, but I got to be able to, even if I'm not physically able to do the things that I used to do and lead missions and training and, give briefings to two-star generals, you know, and all this stuff. And I was writing 30-page, 15-page reports in grad school, and I can't do that now. And I tried to go back, and it just wasn't working. My fingers shake. The screen gets a little crazy, and I got to figure out this new way of life. And if that's speaking, if that's figuring out online stuff, and I can't type, but I can, you know, use my thumbs on Twitter. And maybe that's enough. So I host these Twitter spaces and connect with anybody that wants to talk.
Wow. That is so amazing. And, you know, all of that life experience and all those skills that you brought into it, while physically you're challenged in doing those things in the same way you did before, you can still do them. I still believe you're going to get more healing, though. I think there's some modalities that have not been brought on board yet that can bring back some of that quality of life. As you can tell, I'm a hopeless optimist. Drives my husband crazy because he's a hopeless pessimist. Yep. But you know, you continue. A lot of us in this whole movement, this freedom movement, whatever we did before, it was like God was preparing us for this moment now. You know, I mean, I was a fiction writer, but my fiction, I wove in true history and true science. You know, my little mystery novels actually they were peer reviewed for science by the Washington Academy of Sciences. And I did not realize at the time it was preparing me to become somebody who could write about what was going on in my life now with even pre-COVID, with vaccines and such, and to be able to present it that way. But really that skill building I was learning through writing fiction accurately has served me so well. And in fact, I used to be terrified of public speaking. I mean, to the point where if I'd stand up there, I mean, literally the quiver of the face and my knees, and you could hear me shaking. But when I got published, I had to go do book events. And so I had to begin to push myself in these areas. And that, again, has served me well. Look at me, I'm on the radio. it's amazing the life we, events we go through and the purposes that we didn't even realize that we would be serving.
Yeah. Early on, you kind of do things just to pay the bills, or because people older than you are telling you to do this, or for a class assignment. And so your heart's not always in it. But later, when you have meaning in the things you do, the skills just kind of come into play, and you remember your training, and you're doing something with purpose. And yeah, that's kind of how I feel now. I'll just jump on something like this and just figure out along the way, and just kind of pay attention, and it grows just kind of one brick at a time.
Yeah. It does. I don't know if you were able to hear the first hour of the show, and we'll make sure you get the link to it because it's on CHD TV also. It's the Health Hour. And hopefully you'll find that inspiring, because Javier and I and Lori were talking about the new, help me out here, Javier, the World Society for Ethical Science that has just been formed. You know, so we're figuring it out. It took the first few years of COVID, of everybody looking around going, what the heck? And then trying to push back and then feeling like we were making no ground and our freedoms were being stolen. It took us a while to figure it out, like what it really means to live in this great republic, what our rights are, how do you utilize the great system our forefathers set up, and how to take back what is ours. But we're beginning to do it, beginning to win lawsuits, beginning to find each other. And whatever grand plans those powers that shouldn't be have for us, no.
Yeah. Sunlight, truth is the best disinfectant, and more of it's coming out each day, each month, each year. And the people are still holding on to the narrative, the agenda. They're going to be exposed, you know, and they're going to be alone, you know. So we'll see. That's my hope. That's my optimism. And just be like, all right, where's the truth? Where's the lie in what we're doing?
There you go. And just not to get political, but have you had any support from local officials, your state officials, even your federal officials, to acknowledge
this? Nothing in Minnesota. I don't get too involved with that kind of stuff. I went to a conference in Arizona that was more, conservative, I guess. And so I was able to talk with a few people like Corey Mills out of Florida and Matt Gaetz, and they said, yep, we're supportive. Let us know how we can help. And so there's something there. I'm not going to be too optimistic when it comes to politics. Cause there's a lot there, but I'm just going to keep talking and we'll see what happens.
Are you aware of Dr. Scott Jensen there in Minnesota? Former senator, wasn't he?
Okay. Former state senator, yeah.
State senator. And he's going to be speaking in Washington State in April at the CHDRV event, we'll call it. But he was one who stood up against what was going on early on. He's an MD as well as he was a senator. I'm not sure. I apologize that I don't know. Bob, if you're listening here, tell us the scoop on Dr. Jensen. And maybe that's somebody that we could try to facilitate an introduction between Drew and Scott Jensen to get those relationships established so that you continue to spread the news and be supported. Yeah. We can't like be on this show. We're a 501c3 and a C4 Informed Choice Washington. And so we don't give people advice or support any candidate, but we can fully support individuals researching the medical freedom platform, the health freedom stance of every single candidate, no matter what office they're running for. Find that out. And I'm besides one of the hats I wear here in Tennessee is I'm the Tennessee director of Stand for Health Freedom. And in Washington State, Lisa Templeton, who we work with and we love, is with all these great groups. She's the Washington director of Stand for Health Freedom. And if you go to standforhealthfreedom.com, that organization is compiling in every state voter guides that list candidates and their health freedom stance. So we're really hoping that more people pay attention to this as one of their decision-making tools to decide, because we learned in COVID how dangerous it is to be complacent about who are in these positions that we elect them to. I guess I can't talk about the running for office, or I don't want to sound as if I'm supporting anybody running for office. So I guess we just check out Scott Jensen, everybody.
Yep. So no, that's go. Great. Like, yeah. I'll look more into my own people within my districts and things like that. And it makes sense to pay attention to that stuff more and more these days.
Yeah. And it's going to become more and more critical as we move forward, because I think now people are realizing you can't hide the human injury anymore. Becoming too obvious.
Yeah. Yep. And especially when it impacts either themselves or their family members, they can't hide from that.
No, no.
Yeah. Look the other way, or look to the next news cycle issue that's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
There's going to be no other news cycle from now on. That's the other thing. It's going to become 24 hours in your face. And again, not to get political, but again, the Nuremberg 2.0 trials need to become global, especially now that why am I forgetting his name? The German Californian lawyer will probably get released from German prison.
Why can't I think of his name either? I've gone blank.
Drew, do you know or have you heard?
Bob, if you can think of it.
Reiner Fulmich.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So that should be coming front and center. But again, you've already suffered, others have suffered. That's not going to change that, but hopefully it'll allow us to prevent whatever else is being planned.
Yeah. And the other thing was the impact on the military, having all these people with, side effects for one, like me, and the other people that don't want to be a part of the military anymore, and it's reflecting recruiting numbers. And the other thing that I'm really fighting for is the people that said no, I'm not going to take it, and they got kicked out of the military. Yes. And they're in the military, your career is everything. It's career trajectory, and you're, you know, you're aiming for the 20 years or that current enlistment, and or people have bonuses, and people walked away from a lot of that, and their their careers, their the schools that were they were supposed to go to, the deployments, they were all impacted. And then now they're saying, oh, come back and we'll let you back in. But a lot of them are like, no, I'm not going to go through that again. And so that's, there's, I don't know what the solution to that would be, but there's got to be some kind of damages for how these service members were severely impacted by saying, no, I want to make my own decisions for my body when it comes to something like this that was rushed in emergency and the way it was rolled out. And yeah, it, we talk about having that kind of choice and those freedoms and liberty, and that was not given to our, even our service members.
Right. And service members are not guinea pigs. I mean, the anthrax should have taught, anthrax should have ended any and all sorts of mandates in the military.
And that's a tough thing. I get that on Twitter sometimes. I don't know if they're real people or bots or sock puppets or whatever, but they come at me saying, you joined, you knew this was going to happen. You have to take everything. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I don't remember getting that from my recruiter, the contract I signed. You know, there's some things you got to do for certain reasons, and you could probably, you know, stand up to that. But then what's the limit? You have to get a COVID vaccine every single day, and that's just okay.
Yeah,
you know, just because you signed up to defend your country and support and the, you know, the Constitution, that's not right. And that would if that were the case, that would impact, you know, the whole volunteer army that we have, and that would turn into a draft. And it's like, no. So when I hear that now, I really push back when I hear that online, because like that's no way to treat the populace, let alone ones that volunteer, less than 1% of the country.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Javier, do you remember the name? You know, we interviewed recently, it's Brad Miller of the, he's here in Tennessee. You know Brad?
I do, yep. Yeah, through online and a few different things. Yeah, he's doing amazing things.
They've got that, the accountability resolution. I apologize, I've gone blank on it. But, and then there's a military chapter of Children's Health Defense, MIL.ChildrensHealthDefense.org that you can, you know, join up with and, you know, be part of all of you uniting to say no more. What I think has to happen until our government, oversight agencies, military stands up and said, we were wrong, we did bad, we're going to do what we can to make it up to you, and we vow never to do it again, and systems are put in place to ensure they don't do it again, trust won't ever be regained. They can't just say, welcome back, we'll give you a $10,000 bonus. No, we don't trust you. Trust is gone, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have to do the mea culpa if they want anybody ever to return. And it's very tragic because they have weakened the safety of this nation.
And often it's military, and then their families see them, you know, doing great things in the military and coming to promotion ceremonies, deployment ceremonies, very like, you know, proud and emotional time are these different ceremonies that you go to there. They welcome family members to come into. And then now you're not going to pass on that message to your son, your daughter, your nephew, your niece, your cousins, in the way that it has been going for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So I'm worried, you know, and with all the foreign issues kind of going on right now that are surfacing, it doesn't set us up for success and ready for kind of anything like we used to be.
Exactly.
I just want to plug that part. It's the Declaration of Military Accountability, the DMA.
Oh, thank you. That's that. Yeah. I'm glad you know about that. Yeah.
Yep. I'm in that. I signed it. I'm in the community of doing that. We, support each other. The Declaration of Military Accountability. It's getting some more signatures, and it's making a big difference.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I need to remember. I need to keep a list of all these great people we interview and the organizations they're doing, because one week to the next, I've lost track. So I'm so glad that you're part of that and moving forward. And with that, now your son was just an infant when all this began, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't want you to, you know, reveal anything personal, but he's probably at the age now where he's starting to really love superheroes. I know my son, when he was little, Superman was his favorite from the get-go, but then along came Buzz Lightyear, you know, the whole Toy Story thing. And he had this costume, the little Buzz Lightyear costume, and my husband would pick him up and fly him around the room. And he would say, because he couldn't really talk well yet, he would say, "Dee dee deedly ma." He was trying to say "to infinity and beyond," but he couldn't say it. So,
that's great.
Yeah, some good.
Yep, he's around that age, and yeah, we have a lot of fun and trying to do the best I can. It's tough being a father of a young one with these limitations. Mm-hmm. I got to tell him, "Daddy's tired," and I hate having to say that, you know. And I do my best to be around him, or you know, "Daddy's feet hurt. You can't jump on Daddy's feet," like as if you know, because that would just knock me out. But yeah, we're doing the best we can. That's all you can do as a parent, and just kind of raising the best I can.
Well, you know, he's learning some amazing life lessons. It's hard for you to have to teach them, but respecting other people's limitations and what they're feeling, that's an important lesson to have empathy early in life, to pay attention to those things. And, you know, our kids, the most thing they need from us is love.
Yes.
And learn those values of life, of being, you know, having those right ethics and being a good person in the world. And I can tell you're modeling that for your son.
Thank you.
So it's pretty cool.
Nowadays, that's the best compliment I could ever get. When somebody compliments my son, or you know, a parenting skill or something like that, like I'll take that any day compared to whatever accolades I've had, you know, to this point. But being a good father, that means everything.
Job one.
If people want to reach out to you or follow you on X, you're at Drew Outstanding.
Yep, at Drew Outstanding on X.
Okay.
At Drew Outstanding.
That way they can follow you and interact with you and learn more about what's going on, because again, this is not getting enough attention or discussion, and it needs to happen more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Learn about these things that are happening to people, the adverse effects that they're real. These are real people.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the spotlight like anything, any other illness would, you know, your breast cancer. And these are the things which are, you know, very important themselves, but, and they get talked about on the nightly news, but stuff that's happening to me I hope I'll be on the nightly news sometime or somebody else similar to me, but it hasn't been happening in the last 3 years. So we got to do the best we can with these other ways, which are reaching people.
Yeah. I hate to put you on the spot like this because I didn't ask you previously, but is there any fundraising platform that you would like to share where you're, you know, might be
trying to raise some funds? Yeah, it's on my Twitter, my Twitter profile, but it's, the GiveSendGo. They've been very supportive, and it's my whole story is on there, so it's easier to understand that kind of whole thing.
Okay.
It's, I think it is Drew Outstanding in Field. So GiveSendGo, Drew Outstanding in Field.
Okay.
On there, and prayers are awesome. Just sharing that to get the information out, donation if you can. I don't expect it. I'd rather more people know what's going on.
Okay. Well, Drew, outstanding. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to meet you. Keep up the fight. And if you need us for anything, let us know. We're going to reach out to you with some information we discussed on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Javier, as always, it's been a pleasure. Bob in the background, thank you. Thank you, Nathan. You've been listening to The Liberty Hour on Inform Life Radio on 1150 AM KKNW. We'll see you next week.
Are you suffering from a sinking feeling that the COVID-19 pandemic is being blown out of proportion and that nothing in the news is making any sense? If so, then there is a fact-based, science-driven news show designed just for you. My name is Del Bigtree, and I am the host of The High Wire, the world's most trusted news source in digital media when it comes to accurate, science-based reporting on the COVID-19 pandemic. From COVID-19 vaccine development to mask mandates, school shutdowns to job layoffs, The High Wire goes beyond providing you with the most accurate, evidence-based investigations. We send you links to the sources for all of our reporting so that you can further your own investigation and come to your own informed conclusions. High above the agenda-driven circus of mainstream media, we do not run. We do not hide from the truth. Instead, we walk the high wire. If you care about truth, then join us on Instagram, Twitter, Roku, and our website, thehighwire.com.
Informed Choice Washington is a nonprofit organization that advocates for healthy immunity, medical freedom, and fully informed medical consent. The right to make medical choices without coercion is fundamental to our civil liberties and a basic principle in all human rights declarations. To learn more, tune in each Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. to An Informed Life Radio and visit the website informedchoicewa.org. It's time to take a stand for medical freedom. Go to informedchoicewa.org. Today.
The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.